What is up, you guys? Welcome to the Grove Collective Podcast. I'm here with Gilbert and Brina Martinez. It's so good to have both of you on today.
Thank you for having us. Yes. This is exciting.
Definitely. Yes. Yeah. Different dynamic, but I'm looking forward to it.
Uh-huh. Well, I've been able to get to know you both, and I'm just so excited for everybody to get to know you both. I know, Gilbert, we had you on the podcast earlier as an individual, mm-hmm. and now we get Brina on the podcast as well, so we get to kind of debut you guys as a couple. And
awesome.
I just wanted to say I love you guys both so much, and I'm just excited to be able to, thank you, to share your story and talk about your relationship and the things that you guys have learned so that I and we can continue to glean from that.
Cool.
And the first thing that I wanted to start off with by kind of bringing this up is you guys just celebrated something really special recently.
Yeah.
I want you to talk about that. Share that with us.
For sure.
Yeah.
So we celebrated our 10 years yes. married. Mm-hmm. And what we decided to do was renew our vows, and we chose to get baptized mm. as well. We just felt like, you know, when we first got together, it was by the grace of God, but we would be lying if we said that he was a part of our journey the entire time.
Yeah.
Like, mm. I think God was there, but that Jesus component is what we were missing, that relationship piece. And so, you know, for the last 3 years, since we've been really pressing into our journey, getting to know who Jesus is and where we fit in that equation, it only made sense to renew our vows and get baptized because he is our foundation.
Yeah.
And so we really wanted to just start fresh.
Mm. Yeah, and for myself, a big reason why I wanted to get baptized was because for me, I felt that my first 40 years of life was the wilderness. And there's a lot of references of being in the wilderness or in the desert for 40 years. And when I turned 41, I just felt like, you know what? Now's the time to take everything that I've learned, especially in the last 2 to 3 years with our walk with Jesus, and turn over a new leaf. I understand the concept of the reborn Christian now more so than when I did before. I was like, reborn Christian, what are these guys even talking about?
Mm-hmm.
I get it. Yeah. I understand it now. And for me, that means that it's not necessarily that your old life is forgotten about and it's just dead completely and like that past is irrelevant. That past is very relevant, but the choices that you make with Jesus at the center of your life change the way that you live. And I understand that now.
Yeah, I think that's so cool, man. And there's people in the scriptures that can relate. Like, they're like, what does that mean to be born again? Like, mm-hmm. I think of Nicodemus in the Bible. Jesus is talking to him, and he's like, you need to be born again. Mm-hmm. And he's like, how is that even possible?
Yeah.
And it's so cool because that is real for us. Like, we actually do experience that. We are born again. And what I love about your guys' story is you've shared with me just in the past how the Grove has played such a huge role in your walk with Jesus and in your relationship. I think you guys have a very awesome perspective on what marriage and life was like, with maybe like in the beginning you said that Jesus wasn't your foundation, right?
True.
And I've always been told, and I think that this is true, marriage is the hardest but at the same time most rewarding thing that we ever do as human beings. I want you guys to talk about what it was like for you, maybe like early on, where like Jesus wasn't that foundation, and then talk about the role that faith plays in your relationship with Jesus plays now, so in your marriage. I think that would be really cool.
Yeah. Well, I'll go first. I want to say that in the past, before my relationship with Jesus, I didn't know who I was.
Mm.
I think that I was always that people pleaser, that I would be happy if everyone around me was happy, then I would be happy. I didn't really make my own decisions for me. It was always like thinking about, you know, my family or my brother and sister, like always like what was okay for my parents to be like, yes, like that's my child. Like, you know, to make them proud.
Yeah.
That kind of thing.
You're looking for approval, right?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yes. And so I didn't realize that I had an issue with identity before Jesus. And I think that because I didn't have that foundation, I got caught up in like the worldly views of what it means to be a champion, what it means to be a grinder. And a lot of that made me think I had to do a lot by myself.
Mm.
And so that dynamic made it hard because here I have this amazing husband who wants to support me and is doing his best to do so, but I'm not allowing him to do it, or I'm not receiving it fully.
Yeah.
Or what I also found myself doing was I felt so blessed and lucky to have him that I didn't want him to see me in a negative light. I always wanted to be perfect. And so that stress of trying to be perfect and not let him see me, you know, in a way that makes him look, you know, differently at me.
Yeah.
That's a lot to try to do.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. Once I started, you know, pouring into my relationship with Jesus and understanding that I belong to him and that he loves me as I am, and that my husband does too. So let him help you.
Yeah, yeah.
Listen to him.
Brina.
It's so hard.
It's so powerful. You, like, I think a lot of us, even in our Christian journey, we think that we need to focus on, like, how greatly we're loving Jesus. And you just like, spoke on such a deep and powerful truth that I think if all of us get this, it'll drastically change our lives. You spent most of your life figuring out how to best love others. And then after you, like, came to Jesus, what you needed to learn was how to be loved by Jesus, mm-hmm. and how to receive that love. Mm-hmm. And in religion, it's like, how do I love? How do I love? How do I serve? How do I serve? And what we really need is we need to learn how to be loved.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a part of your identity crisis.
Yes.
For sure.
Yes.
And so that changed you and the way that you relate to your husband. And that's powerful.
It was huge.
Huge.
Mm-hmm.
Because when you're loved the way that you were created to be, then you can love the way that you were created to be.
Doors just start opening.
Yes.
Communication just gets better.
Yep.
I mean, the patience that you have with one another,
yeah.
too. I mean, everything increases.
Gilbert,
exponentially.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it made a really big difference for us, because when we first started dating, it was like, as long as she's happy, it's cool. And as long as life is good, it's good. And what I mean by that is, like, if there's not that much stress, as long as bills are paid, we have food, then everything's good.
Yeah.
And it was like that for the most part. And for the first, like, well, when she got into her bodybuilding career, she experienced success.
Mm-hmm.
She was able to get to top 10 in the world for 2020. And so it was like, oh, if we're accomplishing great things, then we must be blessed and God is looking out for us. But then it was like, all right, well, what happens when things go bad?
Mm.
And things went bad. That's what brought us out here in the first place.
Mm-hmm.
And when I got sick, when I lost my job, those are all technically bad things. But because those events happened, it led us to where we are today. And so now that I can look back at things, it's like, okay, it was bad, but God was there with us the whole time. And now that we have the Jesus component and understand what that means, it gives a different perspective on how I communicate with my wife, what type of dedication I have to certain activities,
mm-hmm.
And what things to let go. And so those are things that we have learned, but we also know that the learning hasn't stopped. It will not stop.
Yeah.
And so we're going to continue pressing into our faith and see what God opens up for us.
Yeah, that's awesome. if there's one thing that I've learned about both of you as individuals, is that you're both extremely driven.
Mm.
And I feel like that could be a hindrance to so many in marriage, because it's like you could go down your own separate path and pursue your goals, and you're driven towards things that you want to accomplish. And I feel like you're both so driven, and you have done that. Like, you've both accomplished great things on your own.
Mm-hmm.
How have you learn to support each other so well, even within those, like, individual pursuits that you've had? Because I think that's been really special that you guys kind of have together.
Yeah, I feel like the bodybuilding thing is something that I didn't necessarily choose to be a part of.
Mm-hmm.
It was something that we did more so for her personal business. She was a personal trainer. She wanted to show her clients that, hey, I can go through this type of journey of a weight loss and then come back down and recreate herself to be a bodybuilder.
Mm-hmm.
And so when she wanted to go down that path, I could have been resistant and been like, no, you can't step on stage and be on a bikini in front of everybody. No, period.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah.
But then at the same time, I also wanted to, as you said, support her. And if that's something that she wanted to do, then I wanted to do that. by making sure that the environment that I tried to create with her was one that she could thrive in. Mm. So what does that mean? It means that, all right, if she wants to get into bodybuilding, am I really gonna bring pizza home every night and eat In-N-Out in front of her face and be like, hey, you chose that?
Wow.
So I'd be willing to make that sacrifice. And I think part of the reason why I did that and have that approach is because when I was growing up and doing martial arts competitively, then I knew what kind of support I wanted. And that was one of the things. I was like, all right, well, you're mentally tough if someone can eat in front of you and it can be in and out. And sure, I could go through and sit through it. But then now that I'm on the other side, it's like, do I really want to recreate that feeling for her? Right. Or do I actually just really want to support her the way that I would have wanted to be supported and not see the pizza in front of me? That being said, I did still take my jabs every once in a while.
Had to.
I still had to. Yep. I wasn't perfect. And I still was like, hey, there were times of that. So I don't want to portray myself as like, oh, everything was good and I only ate vegetables. No. But you can make the environment more so one that she can do well in versus just making it a little bit tougher. Why choose that direction? Yeah. I can choose another way.
Yeah. He did a whole lot more, though, than just, like, not bring home In-N-Out when I was having, like, my really low-carb days. You know, he made himself uncomfortable.
Yeah.
He made himself uncomfortable, not just physically, but he decided, you guys might not know this, but he decided to learn videography and photography, how to create a website, how to build a business. He was trying to be my manager and my husband and my best friend.
Yep.
Like, that's really what it meant to be supportive. He took an interest in the things that I was interested in. He saw where there was a need, and he filled it. And I will never forget just not only how I felt, but the reaction of others when they would see him traveling with me to every single show. I mean, I competed in a lot of competitions, and I could literally count on my hand how many times he missed it, whether it be to work. But he would make it a point to, like, if I miss prejudging, I'm still going to finals. I will fly on a one-way and get there. Yeah. Like, he made it happen.
Yeah.
I never, ever had to question his loyalty or support during that time.
Yeah.
And I coached so many women that didn't have that type of support. Their families didn't support them. Their husbands did not support them.
Yeah.
They just didn't, they thought it was crazy to take fitness to such an extreme level.
Yeah.
But he saw it as an opportunity for us because, you know, even though it was to help build my business, it's our business. Yeah. He's very much a part of that. He likes to be behind the scenes and it worked out. But I wanted to highlight that it came with him being willing to be uncomfortable. It's not easy for any man to see the woman that they love get on stage in an itty-bitty bikini. Yes, it's for sport, but there's still the other dynamics that come into it. You know, I'm traveling. There's other guy bodybuilders that are there, too.
They're huge.
You know,
yo, that's why I would be on I would be on every flight at every show because I'm like, nah, I'm with my...
I get it. I get it. Like, and all those dudes are cool, man.
Super respectful.
And so it was really nice to be a part of that, meet them. And it really did help.
You guys are like, I think it's so cool how bodybuilding was such a big part of your life in a season of your journey. There's so many things that we can learn from that season that relate and translate to every season of marriage, right?
Mm-hmm.
I remember I was at a wedding and I was listening to the officiant and he was sharing to the groom and all the groomsmen. He was like, hey, I'm going to offer you one piece of advice. And it was like a secret moment where he's like, I'm just going to share this with you. Don't share this with anybody else. And now here, well, I'm sharing this with you. But he was like, you as the man can find a way to sacrifice for your wife every single day. And this is what he said. He's like, the best slice of pie, like whatever it is, like even when you're serving her a meal, like give her the best of that meal. Like every day, find a way to give her the best. Mm-hmm. And that always stood out to me. But even when I hear you guys communicating, it's like, how can you disadvantage yourself to advantage the other?
Mm-hmm. Right.
How can you sacrifice yourself to add value to the other? And I feel like that translates in every season of marriage.
Yeah, that's a really, really strong perspective to take. And I feel like if you're able to do that, it's awesome. But then what I think goes even above that is when the other person also reciprocates.
For sure.
Yeah. So then it's like, okay, I'm going to give the big slice of pie to her. And she's like, no, you can have it. And I'm just like, oh, what? And then it's like, oh, wait, now do I take it or do I not take it?
Yeah.
But that reciprocation, I think, is really important. I'm obviously into video and photography. And recently, Brina started picking up a camera so she can understand, oh, what's ISO? Oh, what's f-stop? Yeah. Like some of the small basic technical terms. And I think that because we dabble in each other's hobbies, it makes us better. And it also gives us another topic to talk about.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Instead of, hey, how was your day? They just blurt out what their day was. Cool, I'll say what I did for the day. Yeah. And then that's it. But if you have a common ground, a common hobby, or one or two hobbies, yeah, I think it helps.
Yeah.
Yeah. When I was looking at studies of why most marriages end, the number one reason, I thought it was like communication or finances, right?
Yeah.
And the number one reason was a lack of commitment, where one person felt like the other wasn't committed.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like what you two have done throughout your entire journey is find a way to show the other person that you're committed. You know?
Yep.
And then if you have communication issues, it's going to work itself out because you know the other person's committed.
Yeah.
If you have financial issues, which you guys have had, you just shared that.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
You're going to figure it out because you're committed, right? Yep.
True.
It's powerful.
One of the things that I have talked about before when I think about our marriage is I've never forgotten about the symbol of the triangle and how God is at the apex and Gilbert and I are here at the bottom, at the base. And yes, we have our separate journeys, our separate faith journeys, and the things that God is going to teach us and use us for.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we definitely don't have the same talent, so we can't think that we're going to grow step by step together.
Right.
But what we are doing in that triangle is as we're growing together towards God.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that makes all the difference in the world, especially when it comes to communication.
Yeah.
Because when we understand where our heart is and when we understand the foundation, that's really where we can support each other. And I think it's through that that we can actually let our ego die.
Mm-hmm.
So at the end of the day, I do think that it's your ego that kind of gets in the way, and that can cause a lot of issues in a marriage too.
Yeah,
I think we both have, even though as athletes, you know, you're supposed to have a very strong ego, I think we learn to kind of set it aside when it comes to each other.
Yeah. Yeah, and I feel like the Holy Spirit is always doing that in us, right? It's like killing our flesh and killing our ego because that's a battle I feel like we face every day.
Oh, yeah.
For never sure. Ending.
Never ending.
Constant.
Yeah. Another question that I have for you guys is, no, and also too, I meant to say this early, for all of you listening, especially watching the video podcast, this man just said that he was 41 years old at the beginning.
Oh, yeah.
I know. I thought he was lying, too. Like, he looks 21 years old, which is just absolutely... We're going to talk about your secrets later. You can share this with me.
Deal.
But good one thing I wanted to ask both of you is, if you could talk to your 20-year-old single self, what advice would you give to that younger version of you, knowing everything that you know now? Because I feel like there's an audience that could benefit from hearing that, for sure.
My advice, or what I would tell my 20-year-old self, is the pain will be worth it.
Mm.
It's gonna be hard,
yeah,
but it will be worth it.
Mm-hmm.
All the hard stuff that you're gonna experience, it's gonna be worth it. They all play a fundamental role in creating who you are in the future. Just bear the challenge of the adversity.
Yeah.
That's really what it is.
Yeah.
And just not to quit.
Mm.
God is gonna be there every step of the way, even when you think that he's not. And so that's something that I would tell myself. The pain will be worth it.
Yeah. That's good.
Yeah, I think for myself, I would tell myself to get to know Jesus. Like truly get to know him, you know. I think that in the past, it was just a name that you would throw around, you know, and there wasn't a true meaning, and I wasn't rooted in it the way that I am now.
Yeah.
I think that if I was rooted, and again, I don't regret it because I know where I am now, just like you said.
Yeah.
But 20-year-old self, get to know who Jesus is.
Yeah.
Read the Bible. Get in there. And there's so many examples and things that you can learn on how to deal. There's so many things that we talk about all the time about practicality that you can apply from it too. It's not just reading it for the sake of reading it and checking off, you know, your list. Right. I did my Bible reading for today, but how are you living it?
Yeah.
And you can't live it if you don't truly understand it.
Right.
So it's like, my other thing I would tell myself is don't be afraid to ask for help. You're not going to figure this out on your own. You have to be willing to ask questions and dig a little deeper and allow people in to be able to discover what God really wants you to be doing.
Yeah.
You're not going to figure out what your calling is or what you should be doing. I mean, we both had different ideas on what our jobs were going to be like, and we're nowhere near where we thought we were going to be at 20, right? Yeah. Nowhere near it. And so it's so just like, fun. If you get to know who Jesus is and you can trust in the promises that God has for us, there will be a lot less of me flailing around and trying to figure it out on my own. You know, I feel like I'll be led to where I'm supposed to be.
Yeah. I think you two brought up two very specific points that our younger people need to hear. Because I think when we experience pain, what's your natural response to pain ever, right? Mm. It's to get away from it. And when we experience pain, like you said, it's like, bear that pain. Know it's going to be worth it.
Yep.
A lot of us bail.
I agree.
When it hurts.
Yep.
So that is great advice.
Yep.
And then your advice even matches up with what you shared earlier about you didn't know who you were. And in our 20s, I feel like we're trying to find out who we are, but we're not, and most of the time we're not learning about who Jesus is.
No.
And if we would just learn about Jesus and get to know him, we would find ourselves, right?
That's true.
So that is great advice. Thank you both for sharing that. That's powerful.
Yeah.
Yeah. When it hurts, we shouldn't run and we shouldn't shy away from the pain, right?
No. I agree.
Don't give up.
No, not at all.
Yeah, and get to know Jesus.
Yes, sir.
Can you guys talk about some practical things that you've done during the challenging seasons of your marriage just to foster connection and to hold on to one another? Like some things that you guys have done that have worked well for you that have got you through your challenging seasons?
I think that it's probably one everyone has heard, but... not going to bed angry, not letting a day go by until you've discussed things and talk about it. I don't do well with being stonewalled or, just the silent treatment.
Yeah.
That would get me, in my growing up, it wasn't about go get a switch or you get hit for something like that. It was more like, I'm disappointed in you. And I would just become undone.
Yeah.
So for me, I know that we've got to talk. I can't let, X amount of hours go by because the way that my brain works, we just go down those rabbit holes.
Building narratives, right?
Right. And then I'll
creating
go and talk
stories.
To him. And it wasn't even that, right?
So true.
So I definitely think that the communication piece is huge. And you shouldn't be afraid, especially when you're married. Like, this is the person that you're forever with.
Yeah.
So if you can't be honest with them, how do you expect to grow and stay in a marriage that has longevity?
I feel like the best thing to do for us when we did have challenging times was to communicate, but it's not just that simple, not just communicate let me just talk. I will peel back layers and keep asking questions. If she were to say I'm just not happy. All right, well, let's dig into it. It's not just, you're unhappy. Well,
I'm sorry.
Sure. Yeah, I'm sorry about that. It'll get better.
Yeah.
It'll be all right. Don't worry. That doesn't really give her a chance to express herself. And if she's feeling any kind of way, I as the husband would want to know, wouldn't I?
Yeah.
How do you genuinely feel? And sometimes those might be a little bit harsher conversations and they might take a little bit of time, but it's worth it to just try and muscle through some of those things and not going to bed mad.
Yeah.
I think that helps a lot. You gotta address things and just hash it out. And it'll be worth it.
Yeah.
I think another little thing that just popped into mind too, more so for me, is you're not being attacked. It's so hard in marriage. He's offering advice to me. He's giving me suggestions. I may have just given a complaint about something, right? Which we do as women. We usually have something to complain about. And a lot of times he's just trying to offer a solution, but I hear his solution and I'm feeling like it's an attack on my character. So I start getting defensive, and I, instead of listening to what he's telling me, I'm giving him a reason why that can't be done or why I hadn't already think of that. And it's like, actually calm down, calm down, take a breath. Because I think what I had, and that's why I felt like understanding who Jesus is helped me to understand my husband better. He's not critiquing me or judging me or coming at me. He's trying to make me better.
Yeah.
He's trying to alleviate my stress.
Yeah.
He's trying to provide, protect, and show me his love for me by sitting with me in that moment. And here I am taking it as an attack. And so then I'm giving him, you know, that doesn't make any sense, but we're all guilty of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think the other piece is humility. Mm-hmm. I had to humble myself and recognize, like, I know that he loves me.
Yeah.
Why is he actually telling me this? Don't look at less than it. Don't, I feel like sometimes we pay attention to how things are delivered to us instead of looking at what is they are they actually
the content,
saying.
Right?
Yes. Yeah. I think that we can go back and forth with that for a long time when it goes to like how men and women think on that.
Yeah.
Yep.
But I had to learn to not just always be emotional. I had to bring my logical side into it. And he really had patience with me on that.
That's good.
And it goes vice versa too. So coming from the logical side, now that I read the Bible every day, I understand that emotion is a crucial component. You can't just remove emotion completely and just be like, oh, power and results.
Yep.
Like, that can't be the only way that you gauge yourself.
Right.
There's an emotional connection. There's an emotional component that, as a guy, it's harder to tap into that. But when we're able to get there and having Jesus, having the Bible, and comprehending all that, and then applying it with your significant other, it's like that for me is, I think, what really helped our relationship.
Yeah. Yeah. That's powerful. I feel like I could sit here for another 30 minutes to an hour and just chat with you guys. Seriously. I enjoy both of you so much, and I'm so glad that you're here at the Grove, and I'm so glad that you're a part of my life. Mm-hmm. And thank you so much for sharing your heart today and for sharing your story with us. I learned a lot, and I know everybody else is going to learn a lot too. So Brina and Gilbert, thank you so much for being on the Grove Collective podcast. It's been an absolute privilege and honor.
We appreciate it, Nate. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Nate.